Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulge discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Drop Car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah. No one admits it, and you say like, "Hey, Mike's going to replace somebody. This is going to be who is it going to be?"
I think Will is a. I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do. So you can't reverse these things on me because I have no problem saying what's on my mind.
Okay, and. Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioCP.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. Had a corona scare this week. Wasn't feeling good for about a week, and I assumed it was just a head cold. You know, probably hear it in my voice. I'm still a little bit nasally, congested. And, but I was checking my temperature, you know. I was, could still taste, still smell. Those are the big ones I've heard of symptoms for COVID-19. And then my cohort at the radio station, Johnny B, freaked me out one day and goes, "Yeah, you could still have it, not have those things." I went, yeah, but I don't think it's that. I'm cool. And he goes, "Well, you should go get a test, you know." I go, "I don't think I need one. I think I'm okay." You know, when you just like, you don't want to know, that type of thing. And I actually thought about that too. I was like, well, if I have it and this is as bad as it gets, I'll just kind of hibernate for a little bit and I mean, I'm not really doing anything anyways. But then I figure, yeah, but I'm still going to have to go to the grocery store. I still have to interact with, you know, Johnny at the radio station. You know, I saw some friends over the weekend outside, socially distanced, all that. And I'm like, yeah, then I'm kind of putting them at risk, potentially. Like, all right, well, yeah, you're right. I should go get tested. If I have some symptoms, and I looked up the symptoms, and it's like, you know, nasally, you know, you have congestion, and you have a cough, and you have runny nose. I'm like, yeah, I have all those. Diarrhea. I've had diarrhea for 35 years now, so yes. So I go, okay, all right, well, I'm going to have to go get tested. And shout out to the crew, whoever's doing that for the city of St. Pete at the Mahaffey. Very well organized. I was in and out in minutes. got my results back in 24 hours, and thankfully I was negative, but I still have this, you know, illness still kind of sticking around. I feel much better, but, and I never was really that sick. That was another thing. And, you know, with this virus, it's like you can, a lot of people are, you know, asymptomatic or very little symptoms, and it was just kind of, it was a little scary there for a minute, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to call people if I test positive. I'm going to have to call my friends. It's like when you find out if you have herpes or something, you got to contact your former partners and let them know, and you kind of, you know, you just feel bad. Like I felt bad. I went into work my one day a week at my day job, and I'm supposed to be the only one there, and both the guys showed up. I'm like, oh, guys, I don't really feel that great, just so you know, so stay away from me. I don't think it's anything, but I'm going to go get a test today. And, you know, my boss's daughter has, she's healthy, but she's got some sort of something going on. And those people, if you have pre-existing conditions, they end up being the ones that get hit hardest by COVID. So I would feel awful, you know, if I got his kid sick or something. And, but yeah, I got the results back in 24 hours and I tested negative. Now, of course, could be a bad test, false negative, but I'm just going with negative. I'm just going with that. I'm going to hibernate still as much as possible. You know, Pinellas County's numbers are doing really good. Florida's really is doing a lot better than it did. I know I was looking at the total case numbers here. We got, I think we might have the most outside of California of cases in the country. I think we're like second in total cases, but we're doing really good the past few weeks as far as the positivity rate goes, which is encouraging. I want there to be football season. I want there to be fans in the stands. And it seems like I don't know why we can't do that at this point. Pack the stadiums, make everybody wear a mask, and just have full capacity. It's weird how you see some things are okay and some things aren't. So I was watching the coverage of the Republican National Convention last night, and they were complaining that people were going and not socially distanced and how terrible this was. And then I also saw today that they had to march on Washington, which thousands of people were there. Yeah, they had masks, but they're, I mean, shoulder to shoulder. That can't be good. And then they go, this is great. They don't really have a comment on this one, but it's just like, come on, guys. Are you really going to try to do this, just gaslight like this, so blatantly? And of course they are. That's their job. I don't know how people's... It's amazing, like, where we're at. Anna's going to join me in a little bit, and I would suspect that we're going to talk more about this stuff. I don't know what else to talk about. I don't want to talk about what's going on in the world anymore. I'm so disheartened. I'm very frustrated. You know, we're at the point right now where we're looking at, two people can look at the same piece of evidence, same video, whatever, and not only have disagreements about it, about certain points of fact, but take away two completely polar opposite points of view from something. It's shocking. I don't know where we are going to go after this election, where we're going to be at. I have a feeling that no matter who wins, it's still going to burn, no matter who wins. There's a lot of people who, you know, if our current president loses, that are heavily armed and might form a militia, who knows? They could be the ones rioting in January or November instead of the other lunatics. And I really, I'm just so tired. I'm sure you are, too. We struggle with this on the radio show, too, where we don't want to talk about this stuff anymore, you know? And I know some people, a lot of people do. But then we get yelled at when it's like, we have a responsibility, you know, just behind the scenes. They tell us we need to hit top stories. It's a news, it's called a hot talk format at the Bone. And part of that is, you inform and entertain. Well, the news lately is not entertaining, and you can't make jokes about it. That's been made clear by certain actions and decisions that have been made. I started to write a joke on Twitter about protesting because a lot of the NBA players and all the sports leagues, they boycotted a game because of what's going on. And I was going to write a tweet about how I was protesting the show and wouldn't be showing up. And I go, nope, that's not a good idea. That is not a good idea. And I stopped myself and I didn't do it. Thank God. But it's like, you know, we got to tiptoe around it so much. It's just not really even worth talking about because I have feelings on things. I'm not even afraid to talk about it on this show now. Because I still represent my employer, even though I always represent my employer no matter where I'm at. Which I get it. I totally understand that. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. Follow me on social media. Don't really do anything on there anymore. I do Instagram a lot, and I try to make that fun and funny and do stuff over there. So that's probably my best follow at this point. Instagram, home_made_man. I tweet, but not really anymore. Like I said, started to do one yesterday, and it was a joke. Can't do that. Can do it. So if it's, I tweet out the podcast, please share that, retweet that. That would be, that's always helpful. I do appreciate it. And I feel like these podcasts haven't been stellar lately. And I got to try to figure out a way to get out of the funk. I feel like this one, I'm boring you. There's no... I don't have any takes right now. I mean, I do, but I'm afraid to talk about it. But maybe Anna can help with that. She's going to call in here because I'm still sick. And even though I don't have corona, she doesn't want to get sick, which I don't blame her because I live in a tiny little box and I'm coughing and, you know, she doesn't want to get her face coughed on, which I totally understand. So she's going to call in and we're going to chat. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in victory. Y, salonandspa.com. The salon is open. Just wear a mask, dildo. That's all you got to do. You can get your hair done. You can look good. You can feel good. Support local businesses. Truvy, salonandspa.com.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. On RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna, hello. Joining me.
Hi.
Via FaceTime so I don't cough on you and around your mouth and anus.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excuse me? Anus?
Anus.
Did you say anus?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes the droplets spread in the air and then it will get everywhere, including your anus.
I don't want you to fart on me and it get in my nose or my mouth or something.
Right. I understand.
Okay.
I don't want that either.
Yeah, but you do not have COVID-19, correct?
I do not. No, which is good news. Unless I was just saying earlier, unless it's a false positive or a false negative, right? Those exist.
Yeah, those can happen.
But no, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
Okay.
What's
you sound
on?
Sound okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's on your mind this week?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, Will, like I said, I've been watching a little bit of the DNC, the RNC. I was actually thinking about it last night as I drifted off into a very deep sleep. But it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo to me. But I am very excited about the debate. Although I don't know if you heard about this, but with Nancy Pelosi, it sounds like she's trying to pull Biden out of the debate. And like I mentioned on a previous episode, that would be the worst case scenario for me because that's the only thing I have to look forward to in 2020.
Yeah. You know, it's I found that very ironic too, that she didn't want to legitimize the president of the United States yet for the past 3 or 4 years. Now she's invited him, the president, which I know they don't like that he's president, but he is the president. She has invited him to give the State of the Union in her chambers, in her office, which is the Congress, every year.
Yeah.
So it seems like she legitimized him from the get, and now all of a sudden she doesn't want to legitimize him? What the hell does that mean?
I heard from someone who is who pays attention quite closely, that he thinks that this is actually a setup. So she says, I don't want Biden to, you know, debate him, blah, blah, blah. And then Biden, and everyone's like, no, don't debate him. And then Biden's like, I got this. I'll do it. Like, he's not afraid. And he's like the lion that goes into the den with Trump. So this person was saying that it's just basically a setup. So because people are saying that Biden is weak and, you know, he won't be able to handle Trump, or he doesn't want to go up against Trump in the debate. And so some people think it's a setup. So it makes him look more of like a badass, I guess. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I saw that they were calling for, or I guess Trump was calling for drug testing before the debates. Yeah. Because Biden did a pretty okay job, I saw, from just a brief amount that I saw on his speech. But they were saying how it was a home run and how great he did. And
yeah.
I guess there's some theories that maybe he's medicated. Like, give him some meth or something and put him up there.
To pep him up, to bring him back from the dead?
Yeah.
That could very well be the case. Would you mind shifting gears and talking a little bit about Miss Ghislaine Maxwell? I'd kind of like to bring her back on the scene. I read something.
Tell me what you know, because I haven't been paying much attention.
Sure. So I saw this thing, I think it was yesterday, that she drugged some man named like Wizard or something, put him on a plane and sexually molested him. I don't know how much she could do, but sexually molested him, I think, like, in the United States or something like that. And it just occurred to me, like, it was almost like a weird moment where I was like, not proud, but I was like, women can be sexual monsters too, you know what I mean? Because every once in a while you'll see like a case where, not every once in a while, pretty much every day in Florida, where it's like, you know, you'll see a teacher, you know, from Volusia County who's banging you know, her 15-year-old student. And I mean, I work in radio, as do you, and usually the response from men is like, oh, hell yeah, like, where was she when I was in school, sort of a thing, even though those people are disgusting, you know, child molesters. But if it's the reverse, if it's like a, you know, a male teacher and a female student, then everyone like loses their S, and, you know, obviously they're not okay with it. I feel like people give, this is another thing that people don't like to admit, but this is female privilege when it comes to sexual abuse. For the most part, if a woman sexually abuses a guy, it's like, come on, that's not sexual abuse. Like, to me, it's insane that Cardi B is getting so much attention, and even the Joe Biden is willing to do an interview with her.
Yeah.
and talk to her about this, which is so pathetic, and it's so obvious what you're doing. I mean, she has 70 million followers on Instagram, so
you know they pulled
that. What you're doing.
They pulled that interview from Elle magazine. It's not on their website anymore. The only thing you can find is a transcript, not the actual video, because it was between the both of them. They spoke English maybe 80% of the time. They were using words that didn't mean anything, and they fixed
it
in the transcript.
Instagram. Yeah.
I don't think you can find it on Instagram anymore. I mean, they might have streamed it live, but as far as I know, you can't find it anymore. You can only find the article where somebody transcribed it and cleaned it up, polished it.
Yeah, but I found it on YouTube very easily, so it's definitely out in the ether.
Was it Elle's account?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I just looked up Joe Biden, Cardi B, and it like popped up. It may have been, I don't know. But I just thought it was so interesting that like Cardi B, who has admitted to drugging men and stealing their money, is celebrated not only in our culture, but by a presidential candidate. Like, that's insane to me. But she if she was a man, I mean, obviously it would be unfathomable the sort of, you know, repercussions she would be facing.
Well, not really. I mean, not really, only because Bill Clinton was president, Donald Trump is president, Biden is probably going to be president. These men all have allegations against them of rape. I mean, Bill Clinton has many, and so does Trump, but Bill Clinton seemed more credible to me of actual rape. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It's only goes into effect.
Yeah, but they haven't admitted to doing it. Like, she's like, yeah, I was doing it. And they're like, okay, cool. Like, they're, all of those men that you said, that you mentioned, they've all denied allegations. True or not, they've said, I haven't done this. But Cardi B, like, raises her hand and says, yeah, I absolutely did drug men, and I was a stripper, and I was banging them and drugging them and taking their money. And then they're like, okay. Like, they're just like, eh. Like, could you imagine if Trump said, yeah, I was doing that, or Bill said, I was doing that. Like, they're all denying it. So that's the difference there.
And it's seen as a woman's empowerment, too.
Oh, yeah. Female privilege definitely exists. And that's proof of it right there. So,
I mean, didn't they make a movie about that? Wasn't Hustlers about that?
Yeah.
And it was celebrated in pop culture, how awesome that was, that these women like got a fast one over on these. And they made the men to seem out like frat boys, you know, all these men that they took advantage of. But a lot of them were just normal dudes, Wall Street guys that were going for business meetings and whatever.
I mean, that's kind of hard. I mean, I could be totally wrong. I don't think that they were trying to do there's lots of mobster movies where there's, you know, men taking advantage of other people, men and otherwise. And it's just like The Wolf of Wall Street, even though he's a bad guy, you're kind of rooting for him. So I think that that may have been it. But as far as women being sexual predators, it just seems to be like downplayed or sometimes even ignored. Like I'm still so surprised that Cardi B is as relevant as she is, and maybe I shouldn't be so surprised, but the fact that she's admitted to like drugging men and stealing their money, and people literally were just like, and I was just like, what? Like, it's so bizarre to me that that's the case, even though it shouldn't be, because, you know, we're living in the upside down world where nothing, facts don't matter, and nothing really matters except identity politics. So.
Yeah. And also, there are double standards in life. There's some things that are unfortunate, but they're true. And there's rules for thee, not for me in some occasions. And sex is definitely one of those things. You know, I don't have any children, but if my 16-year-old son, you know, banged his teacher, I'd be like, way to go. I probably would.
You would say that? Probably.
Yeah. As of right now, I don't know. That may change if I had an actual 16-year-old son, but Yeah, way to go, man. That's pretty awesome. But if a male teacher had intercourse with my 16-year-old daughter, I would probably shoot him in the head myself.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's because women's chastity is worth more than a man's. And that's, you know, unfortunate, but true. And we're told now that no, everything's equal, and go ahead and slut it up,
no,
ladies.
I wouldn't even say it's worth more. It's like men's chastity is not valued. Like, nobody wants to be with a guy that's a virgin, right? Whereas, like, a woman, not that a guy these days wants to be with virgins anymore, but you understand that, like, you don't want someone who's been whoring it out. That's definitely not something that most men are after. So.
Yeah. But there are, you know, yeah. And it's just unfortunate. And this is one of those occasions where we don't look at the, although with Cardi B, you know, drugging somebody, that kind of takes it to another. I don't see, and a woman can't really rape a man either. I don't think, unless he's drugged and she like steals from him. But I remember Amy Schumer got in trouble with that because she was telling a story about this guy that was like too drunk and he couldn't, you know, get aroused, and she kind of like kind of took advantage of him in the back seat, and he was too drunk. But it, like, it literally doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be stimulated as a man in order to participate in the act.
But I mean, I think that we could umbrella term rape into something that's like, maybe it's not necessarily intercourse, but it's something that is done to you sexually that you were not conscious for, you didn't consent to, you know. So you could still, I mean, I guess it's a loose term of rape, but you could like rape a man, but it's not necessarily like you had intercourse, but like you did other stuff. I mean, don't know, like you put a finger in his gooey hole.
Yeah. A man can rape a man, you know. But,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
But I don't know if it's possible for a woman to rape a man.
Well, again, I'm using, I guess, a looser term of rape, where it's like you did something sexually with someone and they weren't conscious while you did it. Or
I've fallen asleep. I've fallen asleep during.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
but
it
you
was
were, like,
it was substance related.
Unconscious.
Oh yeah, I was totally unconscious.
No, but I mean, like, you weren't drugged. Like, maybe you drugged yourself.
I drugged myself.
Like, yeah.
So. And definitely fell asleep during an act.
well, that's not good. Did she tell you how horrified she was when she woke up? And
she didn't
not,
know.
Or when? Okay.
She didn't know. She had no idea. Yeah. So I just like passed out, and I don't know how long she was going for, but she was still going after it. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I don't think she realized it. She never brought it up. And I don't know if it was an hour. I don't know if it was a couple minutes. I don't know how long it was, but she was
blacked out. Maybe she was blacked
no,
out.
No, she wasn't. God, I don't think. Her. I don't think.
Oh.
She was just happy to do that.
Do that. I saw this new extreme dating site, Will, that maybe you'd be interested in, maybe not. I know you're not having great luck, neither am I. It's called 20 Dating. Have you heard of it?
What is it?
It's called 20 Dating. It's 20? It's a dating app. 20, like the number.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it's a dating app for extreme age gap. So say you're, you know, a 60-year-old man and you want to be with someone who's at least 20 years younger than you, you go to 20 Dating, and it's the world's first extreme age gap dating site, if you're interested.
Well, that's legal. Well, I guess it could be older, too.
Yeah, it's older or younger. So, I mean, I don't see you with someone that
60, would be 55. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what my mother wanted me to do. Karen was like, my mom. Because she's always like, all these girls are ridiculous now. I see it on YouTube. She's like, you should just go get a sugar mama. Like, get an older lady. She'll take you and travel. You can go travel and see the world.
What do you feel about that?
Well, at the time, I just kind of laughed because I thought it was a joke. But then I'm like,
but
you
now
know,
you're considering it.
Maybe she's on the right track here.
Hmm. Well, what are your age limits? Is it just like legal to your age, or like what is your age bracket that you would consider dating?
So on the apps, you can set your limits, your age limits. And I usually have it to 21 because I'd want to be able to go to a bar at least up until 40.
So you would, I mean, I understand that 21-year-olds can be hot. I get that. But I don't see, I mean, maybe you don't even have anything in common with anybody because I feel like you're kind of an outlier like me. But I cannot see you having anything in common with a chick that is 21 years old.
Probably not. I'd say that's probably fair. but also too, it's kind of, I don't want to cheat myself out of any experiences either. So maybe I would, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, my plan right now is maybe if, something happens where I make it in this business and I start to do well, that I could just like, meet like a 25-year-old and then maybe make a family when I'm 60 or something.
Oh
yeah.
Well, that's a good plan. Cause you got, I mean, you're 35 now. So to 60, you got 25 years. So you got a whole bunch of time unless you get COVID and die or something.
Yeah. Which is possible now, or, you know, the world burns after the election.
Yeah. That could quite possibly happen. Do you want to, who do you think is going to win the election? Do you have any idea or premonition?
If you were to ask me, in January, I would have said that Trump is well on his way to a crushing, overwhelming victory. And then if you would have asked me 1 month ago, 4 weeks ago, I would have said Biden's going to win handedly. Maybe not in a landslide, but handedly. And now I have no idea. I have no idea who's going to win. They had the conventions. I didn't watch any of them. I couldn't care less about
It's just a bunch of, you know,
propaganda.
Yeah, showboating and right.
But I think from what I've seen is the RNC had much more pageantry than the DNC did.
Well, the DNC was, I mean, it was like some guy was doing out of his garage without shoes on. I saw a picture of a guy with like a folding chair, and he had a bunch of Zoom cameras and a few monitors, and that was who was running.
Which was
DNC.
Very impressive. That guy is a Oscar award winning whatever job that he's doing there is what he like a grip. I don't know what you call those guys who run the.
I understand, but it's like, dude, what the Republicans did was so much better. You know, besides last night, which was kind of questionable because there was like 1,000 people without masks. But prior to that, you just had people at a very professional setting. I think it was in like Maryland or something like that, Fort Detrick maybe. And they're just, you know, broadcasting, and some of them were just behind an American flag, but it looked very professional. They weren't doing it in front of it in their living rooms. Like, that was such a bad look. But the Democrats were trying to, you know, they're trying to expand on their narrative that, you know, stay home, quarantine, all that sort of stuff. So they were kind of trying to set an example by, you know, look at me, I'm a president or former president, I'm in my living room, you could be in your living room, sort of a thing. So I get what they were doing, but it just was a bad look. It looked like it was just a hack job, a lackluster job. You know, it reminded me of the comparison between the two was like the Republicans were like a cinematic feature film, and then you had like a community college film group that was trying to put on the same production. It's just like there's no comparison. So
yeah, it seems like that we're living 2016 all over again. It seems like Hollywood and media, corporate media, has just, they're doing the same damn thing. I'm watching the same things. It's history repeating itself faster than it usually does. They had the cast of the West Wing come out and support Biden, and literally in 2016 they did the exact same thing. I think there is a sect of pop culture, people who are really into pop culture do care what those people say, but there's a lot of people who don't pay attention, you know, middle America and flyover states, and a lot of people are not paying attention to what these people, and in fact, not only aren't paying attention, but resent these things, and they're getting involved and being chastised and being called morons by these rich elites. And I kind of see the same scenario happening that 2006. They're going to say Biden's going to win and Trump's going to end up winning again. And then
I think Trump will win. That is my prediction for the election. But I could be wrong. I mean, it will be insane if he does win because of all the things going on with the racial tensions, political unrest, the racial unrest, all that sort of stuff, the pandemic, hurricanes, everything. But to be honest with you, I mean, I feel like it's almost part of Trump's saga where it's like everything gets thrown at him and he just somehow makes it to the other side. I don't know how, but he makes it happen, you know.
It's not really him that's winning. It's media and Hollywood shooting themselves in the foot again. They're their own worst enemies.
Well, yeah, it's both, though. I mean, I think that, I mean, he is just, and I hate to, and I'll probably get, you know, crap for this, but I mean, you got to admire the guy's gumption. Like, when everybody is telling him it's wrong or this or that, and again, maybe it's not the best idea, but the fact that he doubled down and he's not afraid, people look to that and they go, man, that guy is a leader. Even if I don't even agree with him, at least he's a strong leader and he doesn't take crap. And I think that obviously that was one of the major reasons why he won the election in the first place. And after investigating Roger Stone, I mean, I didn't really know much about Roger Stone at all, but the fact that he's been kind of not molding Trump, but he's been keeping an eye on Trump since 1988. He saw this guy and he was like, that guy has presidential potential. And he was right, which is just crazy because Trump just, there's something about him that people find very captivating, the way he talks. He sounds kind of idiotic, but you almost have to laugh because it's like endearing the way that he makes no sense and just says what's on his mind. He's not the most eloquent person, but that's what people like. That's what, like you said, middle America is probably like, man, I can relate to this guy. I know what he's saying to me. I get him. He's on my level. He's a good businessman. He's successful. So, it'll be really interesting to see how this all pans out in the next few months.
I also think that he's successful because he pisses off the people that normal people hate. So normal people hate Hollywood. They hate corporate media. And I get a kick out of watching him send those people into hysterics. That brings me a lot of joy. Otherwise, that's the only affection I really have for him, honestly. It's just that he drives those people absolutely bonkers.
Sure, absolutely. But it should be interesting to see what pans out, those debates that are happening. And I want everyone to get a drug test. It should be really interesting. What kind of drugs do you think they would be giving Biden? like some sort of stimulant or something,
stimulant, maybe like Pervitin or something. That's what Hitler gave his troops, and it
made
them made them to insatiable fighting machines. So I could see something along those lines.
Is that really? I mean, that helps you not sleep, and you know, gives you energy. But what about like cognitive? Is it gonna improve his cognition? Where he's gonna be able to be more eloquent and not forget what he's saying, and basically reverse dementia?
I think a lot of it is he's just tired. He's just an older guy. He doesn't have the energy, and maybe if he just gets some energy in him, he can, in short bursts, you know, do some damage. He's not a stupid man, Joe Biden. He's old and
he's senile.
Always not,
you know,
been the best talker, you know. Always gets himself into trouble.
He had a stutter. I didn't know that. I just thought he was an old guy, but apparently he really did have like a legitimate speech impediment. So,
yeah, and Press tried to sway that and say that that's what this is. It's not him being a dotard. It's actually his stutter is why he's having trouble. Not because he's an old fool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of his gaffes were not stutters. They were. There are other issues he probably was saying, and
he just, you know, he says a lot of things that are not for the times. You know, he's an old man, and he's always done that. I think even Obama said that, never underestimate Joe's ability to screw this up. I think he was quoted secretly as saying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
But, yeah. Like I said, should be interesting to see how this all pans out.
I wonder if he'll even make it to the election. I'm wondering if...
like, he might die?
Or he'll have an incident that happens, or maybe, you know, it's planned where he has some sort of major health crisis, even if he doesn't, and Kamala kind of takes the reins. Because I think that's who they wanted all along. And Tulsi Gabbard came into town and sunk her into the debates over her locking people up in cages, especially black people in California, over minor drug offenses.
Right.
And then she's going around saying that she used to smoke pot in college and gets down and listens to Tupac and all this stuff.
Right.
There's such frauds and
phonies. Yeah, that
would have been
a good book. Yeah. But that's politics, man. And I always tell people that, you know, that's how you get ahead in the political arena, is you have to play dirty, otherwise you lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that all these people are, you know, demons from hell, and I'm almost like weirdly okay with that. But and I've said this before, like, it's not about who's a sexual predator and who preys on children. It's about which person that preys on children is going to create the most jobs. Like, that's what I'm after. I've accepted that it's a rigged game and that you have to do dirty stuff to get ahead, but I just wanted someone in the office that is going to kind of push America in the direction that I think America should be pushed. And that's why we need to get a vote. And that's how it goes. So.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to vote this time. I think I'm sitting this one out.
Really?
I just don't have any... You know, would one be better than the other? Maybe for my 401k, yes. But does a president really change your life in the slightest, aside from maybe you have a little bit more in your 401k, maybe pay a little less tax, but it hasn't really ever affected my life who's been president. Life changed much under Trump than Obama? I had a little bit in my 401k. I was getting more of a return on it. But other than that, not really. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
The same stuff was happening. We were going through a lot of the same things that we are now. There were still riots, and they've seemed to escalate it a lot now. But there were still riots when Obama was president, too. And
I know, but I feel like it's almost a shame because you've put so much energy into educating yourself. And I understand you think it's rigged and it doesn't really matter. No, I get that. And maybe it's just more of the symbolism of it all. But I almost like think it's a shame if you don't, just because you spend so much of your energy educating yourself on current events, policies, and what's going on.
But that's kind of why I decided, because of the time that I spent educating myself, that's kind of why I'm not doing it.
I get that. But when you have so many people that are voting based on like, oh, it's a woman, or I like what she said about this one thing, or I like this one speech, or she's friends with Oprah, like that's the basis of most people and how they vote. And then you were like super in the know and educated and do a lot of personal research, and you aren't voting. So I don't know. I get why. Don't get me wrong. It's almost like you're so overeducated that you realize it doesn't matter. But maybe, and then maybe it's just, I feel like it gives me the liberty to bitch if something doesn't go right, because then at least I try to contribute.
I feel like the opposite. So I feel like by me not contributing, I have more of a reason to complain. I didn't vote. Both of these people suck,
right,
and I knew it was going to suck. And you're gonna have people complaining no matter who wins. And I go, yeah, I agree. I can agree with you 100%. I didn't vote for either of them. They're douches. The group, the okay. the two of them. They're not. None right. of them are going to be good. I don't see. Okay, let me ask you a question. If Joe Biden is elected president of the United States, takes office in January 2021, do the riots stop? Yeah.
I think, do the riots stop? I think that there will need to be an incident for riots to occur. But what I think will happen if Trump becomes the president again, that will ignite another series of riots just in protest of Trump becoming president.
Oh my God, big time. I could also see, honestly, that if Trump loses, you know, there's millions of people out there that support him that, are... I would call them loonies on the other side, that he can do no wrong, that he's the savior, and they're heavily armed. So you might get armed, like heavily armed protests. We're going to get into,
Could be.
Already are now, but even more so.
Yeah, that definitely could happen. I think it's more likely to happen the other way around. But here's what I think might happen. If Trump loses, I mean, I think he will appeal it, because he'll say, you know, there'll be mailing fraud and things like that. And everything's biased. USPS is, you know, messed up the system, whatever it is, mail-in ballots. I think that he may call for an appeal, and then there might be people protesting and things of that nature. But I do think, my prediction is, if Trump wins, and I think that he will, I think that there will be another series of national riots, kind of like what we saw with the Women's March. I understand that those weren't riots, but that was a massive protest. I think that was the largest protest to date globally, before all of the, you know, racial injustice unrest upheaval happened. But prior to that, the largest organized march was the Women's March. That was a global movement. And that happened because of President Trump's inauguration. So I think that will happen again on a more violent scale, though, this time, to be honest with you. And that worries me a lot.
All will be well. Don't worry about it. Or sweet release. It's one of two options. So we will see what happens. This podcast is brought to you by NTT Fitness and NTT Nutrition. Go to nttfitness.com. Go to the nutrition page. Order yourself some food that is good for you and good for your body. It's the right portion. You don't have to worry about it. You stick it in the microwave. You eat it, and that's all you eat. It's plenty of food. It's what your body requires. And just because it's pandemic time doesn't mean you have to completely give up on life. What if we survive? What if everything's great? And then you're just, you know, 25 pounds heavier and everybody's banging and stuff and nobody wants to bang you. Come on, man. It's a no-brainer. Go to nttfitness.com. Get your first order 15% off using code LEVELUP15. And it helps me. It helps the podcast. And I thank you for doing it. So give it a try. You'll look better. You'll feel better. nttfitness.com. Do subscribe to this podcast if you have not, on iTunes, Stitcher. I think it's everywhere now. Just put in HMB Radio. Tell a friend about it. Retweeting the podcast, sharing them really helps. So I appreciate you doing that. HMBRadio.com, 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Comments, concerns, any of that stuff, you can reach me there. And I think that's it for the week. I think that's all. Thanks for sticking it through another one. I feel like I lost my groove, so I don't know. Radio's fun, but this is hard. I'm afraid who's listening and who is trying to actively screw me over. But we'll see what happens. My name is Will Coons. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frankenverse Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. I'm probably just paranoid, but have a great week. Talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.